Fan-run radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Rocky Top, up in the mountains, we talking sports. This is John Reed and Cody McClure to give you more. This is Fox Sports, up in the booth, we going live. I'ma scream Rocky Top till I'm hoarse, until I die. Got a blue tick coon hound laying on the front porch. Fox Sports giving Tennessee what they asked for. I get my tickets from a scalper out in front of Neyland. This is our religion, this is what we all believe in. Talk sports, talk sports, talk sports, talk sports with John Reed and Cody McClure. Talk sports, talk sports, talk sports, talk sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Rocky Top, up in the mountains, I do the milli rock.
Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. This is the first 2 hours. Check out the podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, 245tech.com. Sponsors, FoxSportsKnoxville.com. You can find the podcast on FoxSportsKnoxville.com. And 245tech will help your small to mid-sized business not get attacked cyberly. 43% of cyber attacks are aimed at small to mid-sized businesses. Don't wait to become another statistic. And that was a really awkward transition. That's what I blame Trey Wallace for breaking in here to talk to us right when we were about to go on air. Sorry, 245tech. Sorry to the podcast listeners who now don't know where to go. Go to the FoxSportsKnoxville.com. Ben Lee, Hour 3 Headlines, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. I mean, the audacity of some people to come in here while the rejoin bumper's coming.
I know.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Some guys think they can do whatever they want around here.
A GoFundMe page was set up to raise funds for the legal fees of Will Connolly.
Who is Will Connolly?
Known as Egg Boy. You haven't seen this?
No, who is Egg Boy?
He's a 17-year-old who... In Australia, when Senator Fraser Anning was at a press conference, he came up and smashed an egg on his head in front of the cameras and everything.
Okay.
So a GoFundMe page has been set up to cover his legal fees, as I guess a bunch of people found it funny. And he said, I'm going to use the money to donate it to the mosque victims' attacks over the weekend. I don't know if you saw that.
No. Oh, yeah, I saw the mosque attacks, yes.
So that's a good story. Kid does something stupid, people, you know, raise money for him to try to help him get out of trouble, and he says, you know what, I'm gonna take care of the trouble myself, and this is gonna go towards these victims of this horrible attack. Shout out to Egg Boy. Tennessee has been named as
Tennessee. I thought you were pausing. Tennessee.
I gotta find the tweet again. Here we go. Has been chosen for one of the seven teams that will be for NCAA March Madness Confidential. Turner Sports and CBS Sports joint coverage of the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship includes the return of NCAA March Madness Confidential, providing exclusive behind-the-scenes access to seven teams, including the University of Tennessee.
Did we do this last year, too, or am I tripping? I feel like we did this last year, too.
I'm not sure. This is the first time I've ever heard anything about
like where
this.
CBS goes behind the scenes, like with the show with a team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we did this last year too. What's it called? Tournament Confidential. What'd you say?
NCAA March Madness Confidential.
March Madness Confidential, 2017. I guess it'd be 2018. Yeah, yeah. We were on there last year too. I thought we were.
Anything good come out of it?
We don't really remember. Right? So, I mean, I guess there couldn't have been. And you got knocked out in round two before you could do really any cool stuff. So, I really blocked out the confidential if it happened. But, yeah, I just see on UT Sports, March 12th, 2018, Tennessee to be featured on March Madness Confidential. So, I thought so. They must have liked us enough to bring us back again. I don't really like that we're running back the same strategy that we did last year either.
What's that?
I mean... Doing March Madness Confidential again. Obviously, something didn't work well last year. You got bounced in the second round. God, if they put out another Don't Pick Us video, I'll be shaking.
I really like that, even though, you know, it didn't turn out well. But I mean, everyone still uses the turn me up.
It's true.
That Rick Barnes does.
That came out looking good, I guess. Any more headlines?
I'm looking right now.
What happened to all the ones you saved from hour two?
You used them in winners and losers. I had Ryan Fitzpatrick on there for the contract that. I had the Giannis outdueling Embiid. It's just it's a tough job trying to get these headlines when.
Just give me some headlines, please.
This is a dying time. There's not a lot going on.
We have a whole big audience only tuning in for hour three while they're at lunch, and you are just give me some relaunched headlines. Then just give me something.
Okay, let's see. Source: quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick agrees to a deal with the Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins have agreed to terms with quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick on a 2-year contract. $11 million.
Okay, good for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He will break the NFL record. If he attempts a pass with the Dolphins, that'll be his eighth team. His eighth team that he has ever, that they has passed with. That's a lot.
He just keeps doing his thing, man. Go somewhere, be the backup, play well enough to start, and then get dropped back down, keep your money. $11 million contract incentives that could get boosted up to 17 to 20 million.
I just realized no one's running the board here, the whiteboard. Between no one running the whiteboard and you struggling with headlines, Cody's value's through the roof right now.
This is true. I guess I was wrong. I can't just come across the board and do what Cody does.
Yeah.
But I'm also still behind the board, so I've got a lot of more. There's a lot of responsibility on this side of the table today. Net rankings leave NC State.
Okay.
AD disappointed.
Unbelievable. All right. I draw the line there. We if you're going to rehash, I was hoping you'd be like, well, Tennessee loses to Auburn, 84 to 64. You can't rehash.
I don't want to rehash sad news. Tennessee.
How about this right here?
Walt puts Frazier on for their city.
How's this for a headline? Walt Frazier says LeBron James. Well, we can see that he doesn't really care. And when you are the face of the NBA, you should be more a part of your team. Do we care what Walt Frazier says about LeBron James?
I don't know who Walt Frazier is.
Walt Frazier is a New York Knicks legend. Does like the New York Knicks commentary. Like he was calling the game last night. He's like the color commentator, I guess, for the New York Knicks. He's always wearing the flashy suits.
Mm.
And everything he says rhymes.
Okay.
He's a rhymes
now
he's a
I know,
rhyme guy.
Now I know who you're talking about.
But he's a legend in the NBA. Like his playing career is really good too, and he's been a good color commentator as well. But he called him out and said you could tell he doesn't care.
I think we've seen it all season. I mean,
yeah, nothing new here, I guess. Right?
I know there's kind of like those hit piece videos of LeBron playing defense where, like, for the most part, it kind of seems like he's there in his zone and he's kind of down low. But, like, it does make it look bad where he's not really closing out on the guy that's wide open shooting.
It makes it more awkward for everybody, I think, whenever the NBA is trying hard not to let these guys just, like, blatantly tank by resting their starters, like, by not letting Anthony Davis not play. So instead, you get weird times where he plays a lot in the first half and then doesn't play the entire fourth quarter. Same for LeBron. They don't want LeBron to just sit because they don't want them to openly tank to try to lose. And, of course, LeBron James isn't hurt, so they have to play him. And then you just kind of get him going through the motions at times. It's a weird situation for the NBA to find themselves in. 1,300-pound crocodile put in jail.
Put in jail?
Yeah, for eating a dog.
Where are you
dog.
Finding this?
For eating a dog. I mean, I got headlines out. I got headlines galore. I'm no noob to the headlines. Apparently, this massive crocodile has been terrorizing neighborhoods, killing animals, and scaring the locals. So cops have decided jail time is the best method. He was caught in the community of Wormerang. I don't know how to say that. In the Tiwi Islands, police threw him in a jail cell before animal handlers were able to come and capture him. So they're like, hey, we got this 1,300-pound alligator. We got to have somewhere to put him.
So he was just chilling in a cell?
Jail. Yeah. It's a pretty good headline.
That's an awesome headline.
Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We'll have... of playing. playing us in Bocce. So, Ben, I believe we have a off night tonight in Bocce.
Oh, we're off tonight?
Yeah, we got a bye tonight.
That's a good thing because I forgot to tell you I got to work till like 8 tonight.
Okay.
So I guess it's a good thing we're off or else, well, I guess I missed the first game last week and we were fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we won a man down because Ben, just showed up an hour late for no reason.
I was sitting there and, you know, I got to give a shout out to my guy, I forget who actually sent it in, but
so
the guy,
your guy that
my homie that sent in the Madden game that I can play now, Madden 17. I forget, you know, the Twitter name now, but I was just hooked.
He's really your guy.
I've been grinding. Yeah. I've been grinding in my franchise mode. I've got my team. You know.
Really love this guy. You really appreciate him taking the time to send you a copy of an old Madden game.
I mean, I'm trying to find his name right now. I got a lot of DMs recently. Shout out to you. You know who you are. You sent me the Madden game. I've been grinding on it. Been playing my franchise.
The point of a shout out is so that other people know the guy. That's fine. Forget it. Just don't give a. Don't say you want to give a shout out to him and then not remember his name. That's really mean. And I hope he asks for his game back.
Anyways,
long story short, I believe we still have a spot open in Bocce. We're off tonight. Hops and Hollers. We love Hops and Hollers. 937 North Central Street. We need somebody in the Bocce League. We're going to go play trivia there on Thursday if anyone wants to come play trivia with us. Like I was just trying to do a live read, and then you turn it into you being really mean to this guy who was really nice to you by sending you something.
I was not mean to him. I want to say thanks, but I can't find the messages.
Thank you. You know who you are.
Thank you. You know who you are. And I just lost track of time, and I looked at my phone, and John called me. He's like, you going to make it? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm on my way.
Long way around of you, being unreliable to show up on time for Bocce and being unreliable to remember someone's name that sent you something nice out of the kindness of their heart. So not really a good showing so far in this segment for you, Ben Lee. according to ESPN's BPI, when you're looking at potential two seeds to make the Final Four, Tennessee has the worst chance of any team to make the Final Four, according to them. Tennessee, the computers love Virginia, but they don't love Tennessee's matchup with Virginia. Tennessee, people don't like their chances of getting to, or at least the numbers don't like their chances of getting to the Final Four. I've seen some people pick Tennessee to even go as far as a championship game. I believe Andy Katz had Tennessee losing in the NCAA championship game to Gonzaga. Old man Dick Vitale had Tennessee losing in the NCAA championship to
Duke.
So some people think Tennessee can still make a deep run, but the computers are looking and saying Tennessee doesn't have a great shot of getting to the Final Four, which is a little frustrating because Tennessee apparently was thought of as the number 5 overall seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were thought of as the number 5 overall seed, which means that they definitely would have gotten, or at least not definitely, very likely would have gotten a number 1 seed had they won the SEC championship yesterday. Although I don't know if I buy that line of thinking just because I think they're trying to give Tennessee a bone by keeping them in the South, because I don't think Virginia was the weakest one, right? Like, we're not looking at that as a thing.
I think Gonzaga was the weakest one.
Well, they're supposed to match the strongest two with the weakest one. Like, traditionally, that's how it goes. To give the number two, the strongest number two, the best shot of beating a one. Like, I don't feel like they lined Tennessee up with the weakest one. I think they just try to keep them, you know, over in the South close to home. Because Tennessee, for all intents and purposes, for, you know, after you take everything away from the bracket, the projections and everything that, you know, was set to maybe happen, Tennessee still feels good about being in the South, right? Now, we want to be the one seed in the South, sure. But all things considered, Tennessee happy to be within driving distance to the Sweet 16 Elite 8 combination. You feel good about that. If Tennessee is able to advance to the Sweet 16, they should have a good turnout crowd-wise. Although, after yesterday, I don't know how much that actually matters. You had 85% of the crowd yesterday and really fell apart. Really collapsed, didn't feed off of it. Whereas, you know, the Kentucky game, Parker, did you watch that game on TV? Like, how did it feel to you crowd-wise, the Kentucky-Tennessee game? 60-40? See, that's what I thought. My guy Terrell that I went with was saying he felt like it was like 75-25. I was like, that's too extreme. I thought the number I gave was 63-37. That's like, it didn't feel quite 60-40, but it didn't feel like 70-30. Tennessee fans, I thought, showed up and were loud against Kentucky. Like, there was more blue there, but I felt like Tennessee fans held their own, and it was an electric atmosphere, and it was kind of a battling back and forth, which maybe has more energy. Yesterday almost felt like nervous energy. Yesterday felt like you had 90% of Tennessee fans there, everyone waiting to end this 40-year drought, and it almost made the team too nervous. Like, when things started going not so well, the crowd got a little quiet, and the small pack of Auburn fans really tried to overcompensate by being loud. I thought their small pack of fans were loud as they were beating our brains in.
I mean, that's kind of what happens, right? Like Tennessee fans are always kind of looking around like, time to get the cup out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is, you know, it's a similar crowd to how we have in football whenever we play in football. Like, you're just kind of waiting for something bad to happen, and you just kind of get quiet, and it's nervous energy. And sure, if the team starts playing well, you'll react like 2016 Florida. But for the most part of that first half of that Florida game, there's a dead. Whole lot of nervous, oh, God, here we go again type of thing.
I mean, I think back to the constant gif that goes around of the guy sitting and kneeling with just the hand over his face.
That one, that was against Georgia, right? That, I believe that was after we got off to the good start against Georgia in 2015, and then Jalen Hurd fumbled, and they took it all the way back to the
two-yard line.
Yeah. Sorry, Parker, my throat's hurting. I need a drink of water. My throat is about to go out on me. I need some remedies on how to fix this before tomorrow. Although Cody will be here tomorrow, and you know, help take a little bit of the pressure off. My voice is starting to go a little bit.
Yeah.
Rick Barnes addressed the media. He said that he didn't think that it was Tennessee's defense that was the problem yesterday. He said, you don't lose by letting a team shoot a bunch of threes. You lose by turning the ball over 17 times. And while I kind of agree to that sentiment, I don't think you need to let a team shoot 40 threes either and hit 38% of them. It's really tough to overcome letting a team have 45 points from the three-point line. But again, you probably could have sustained. You probably could have overcame that if you didn't also give them, you know, 17 free throw makes on top of it. It's hard to overcome giving up 62 points from the free throw line and three-point line, free throw stripe. Let's reverse that. That's tough. And something about Auburn we know is that they like to shoot their threes in transition, and when you turn the ball over 17 times, you're really helping feed that transition. You are helping them get out and run. But Rick Barnes said, we're not worried about our three-point defense. We're worried about taking care of the basketball. Snap reaction to that, Ben?
I'm sorry.
You weren't listening?
I got zoned out.
It's fine.
I was watching football on the screen. This is what happens with
a bad third hour for you, Ben.
This is what happens with the football sometimes.
I need you now more than ever. Snap reaction. My throat's going out, and you are letting me down.
Snap reaction from Rick Barnes saying we need to turn the ball over less.
It's okay. Just forget I said anything.
No, I want to help. I'm sorry.
You are playing defense against me.
I'm blowing my shot right now.
You are not only not helping me, you are making this actively harder on me. That's what's happening
I'm
here.
Really not trying to, I promise. I just happened to get sucked into this one clip of Aaron Donald just eating Josh Rosen, and I get caught up in football, man, and I love great defensive line
play. You're making
play.
It worse by trying to explain it. This is one of those instances where Ben Lee, you just have to tap your chest and say, "My bad."
It is my bad.
And then just leave it at that. We don't need the explanation though. Have you not been in a relationship whenever you've messed up and instead of just saying you're sorry, you try to explain the thought process as to why you did what you did? Very rarely does that help, because then it becomes you're trying to justify it, and you don't need to justify it. You just need to say, you know what? I messed up. My fault. It won't happen again. Sometimes that's what you got to do. You can't say, "Well, baby, I was out at the bar, and yeah, you know, I wanted to be nice, but then I got distracted by so-and-so." That's not going to help. That's going to make it worse.
I felt as though I was, you know, taking ownership. I was trying to let you know, like, hey, you know, I'm sorry. This is what was happening.
Again, when you start getting to the justification, A, you can either come across as excuses, or B, can come across as you trying to defend yourself. The best apology is just, you know what? I'm sincerely sorry. Not, "I'm sorry. Now let me explain to you so you can feel bad for me for what happened to me."
That wasn't what I was trying to do there. I was just...
Kind of was.
It was more like,
football was on. I get distracted by football. So sue me. I love football.
That's not what I was saying.
A little bit.
I said, "I got caught up watching this thing. I'm sorry. That's on me. I'm trying to come back in now. My bad."
Rick Barnes' full quote was, "After watching the film, we defended well enough, but the difference was giving up 21 points off of 17 turnovers." Like, giving up threes on turnovers, though, is what Auburn wants to do. Like, that's Auburn's whole game is built around forcing you into turnovers so that they can then push the ball and shoot threes on your head. Like, that's what they do. They give up layups. Like, many times they would have a layup in transition, but like, "Nope, we're kicking it out for three. And as long as we hit two of the six we take from there, it is just as good as going to get our layup there." They were all about that. Them not really understanding that is... Them not understanding that is a little alarming, I guess, because Auburn clearly showed you that on film. And it seems like Tennessee's transition defense was off all weekend. It almost cost them the Kentucky game. You almost lost the Kentucky game because you just couldn't get back on defense. When you watch as that lead ballooned and it started getting away from you, it was because you got beat down the court twice for like PJ Washington and Keldon Johnson layups and dunks. Yesterday was a little bit different because you were getting back somewhat, but you were getting back the wrong way and just leaving wide open threes for a team that's what they want, and that's how they beat you. Pretty frustrating from that regard. But now when you start looking into the NCAA tournament, there aren't many teams like Auburn. And this is why Tennessee fans should have a little bit of a confidence. Like, hey, we beat the elite team, Kentucky. We went toe-to-toe with them. We were able to win. The gimmick Auburn team, who's just trying to shoot, what'd I say? They shot 43s out of 65 field goal attempts. That's almost, what, two-thirds, basically?
Mm-hmm.
They want to shoot 66% of their shots from three. That feels more gimmicky. Not many teams are built that way. That's like the positive, the silver lining, if you're looking for it. We lost, and it sucks to lose the SEC championship, but there aren't many teams that can do what Auburn does. And if they can do it, they're not really in our region. We're not really going to have to play them. Parker, tracked down some other numbers for me, because we gave you the Cincinnati, we gave you the Iowa, the Colgate numbers. Those teams don't really want to bomb you from three. Virginia really doesn't want to bomb you from three too much. They shoot only 21 threes per game. They're going to hit 8.5 of them. They shoot it well. Like, they... Their threes will bother you. If you get to Virginia, you're going to worry about their threes. Now, granted, they're not doing them all in transition like Auburn, or that's not all they want to shoot. But it does worry me that they shoot 21 per game and hit over 8.5 of them. Like, that's a high number. That's something Tennessee's really going to have to worry about in the Elite Eight if they make it that far. As far as terms of trying to get to the Elite Eight, we talked a lot about Tennessee's second-round matchup. We haven't really looked at their potential third-round matchups. Both Purdue and Villanova are going to try to hit you from deep. They present some of these matchup problems that we've been talking about with Auburn, right? Villanova shoots 30 threes a game. That's a lot. And they hit over 10 of them. They hit 10.5 threes per game at 35%. In this, you know, if you make it to the third round, if you make it to the Sweet 16, you are worried about Villanova just bombing you from three, kind of like Auburn did. And trust me, Jay Wright's a good enough coach that if they get there, give him a week to prepare for Tennessee, and he's going to show them, look, this team doesn't defend the three well. We can get this out in transition. Purdue shoots almost 27 per game and hits just under 10 per game. So they're another one of those teams who likes shooting threes. So Tennessee does have a couple in their bracket. Maybe not to get to the Sweet 16, but two of their likely Sweet 16 matchups, Purdue and Villanova, are going to present some of those similar problems that Auburn did. All right, Travis McKinney of the McKinney team will join us next. We'll talk to him. We'll do some buy or sell. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, back on the program, Travis McKinney of the McKinney team. You're remembering from football season, but now it's March Madness. It's time to talk some hoops with him. Travis, thanks for coming in, hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
How you feeling? You feel good being back behind the microphone? Did you miss it?
Yeah, I do. I feel great being back behind the microphone, excited for the tournament. March Madness is probably my favorite thing in sports.
It's really?
Unbelievable. Close.
So let me ask, because we've kind of talked about it for 2.5 hours, I want to see what your thoughts on it are. Are you still able to enjoy the Kentucky win, knowing what happened the next day against Auburn?
I'm absolutely able to enjoy it. I'm still enjoying it. Cloud nine from that. I'll be honest, that Auburn game at -5, I'd have told you to bet the house on Auburn. I did not think we were going to show up, and we didn't. And it didn't, you know, we just heard Rick Barnes on the radio a minute ago saying that he was told by the committee we would be a one seed if we'd have won that game. But looking at the bracket, I like where we are.
Yeah,
as the two, as the number top two seed. I think the Kentucky-Tennessee game was the committee game, basically. Yeah, we could have got that last spot as a one, but overall, I think we got a great draw.
Yeah, I definitely prefer option to Kentucky, you know, who has to go to Kansas City. They don't get the luxury of just going up the road to Louisville. That would have kind of been unfair to give them as a two seed to whoever that one seed was,
exactly.
Because they would overrun that arena. But yeah, Kentucky happened to go to Kansas City. We've already kind of talked about their draw. I think they got a really tough road between Wofford and Houston and you know, Carolina. Like, I feel like that's a pretty tough draw for them. Tennessee could have gotten the one seed. So Rick Barnes said that. I missed that.
Yeah, it just happened. He just said that he was told by the committee if we'd have won, we would have got the one seed over Gonzaga.
Yeah, wow.
I know.
Although that would put you out west, and I think if I'd taken a poll of the fan base, and me and Cody talked about it last week, we all would have preferred to be at Louisville as a two seed.
100%. Yeah,
rather than, you know, being the one seed would have been cool, first one in program history, that would have been nice, but going out west would not have been fun.
No, we have a big fan base in Ohio, too, so there's a lot of Tennessee alumni up there.
Yeah.
I think we'll have a lot of big turnout for the Columbus, and it's only a five-hour drive from Knoxville by, and then Louisville close by, too. So
I'm a little worried about Carolina being in that same region just because Carolina's a big fan base that travels, and I do think that they're going to kind of root against Tennessee just because you root for the upset type of thing. So, like, Tennessee probably will be outnumbered when you add everybody together. But, yeah, I'll open the show talking about my time in Cincinnati because people are worried about potentially playing Cincinnati in the second round there. Like, hey, it's the home state. It's only a two-hour drive. I said in the office I worked at, it was in, you know, smack dab in Cincinnati. Now, granted, it was a job that recruited some people, so not everyone was from there. But, you know, we were evenly split in the office between Tennessee, Xavier, Kentucky, Ohio State, and Cincinnati. So it wasn't like they had, like, a huge fan base that's going to go up there and travel. Like, the city of Cincinnati is split evenly between Xavier and Cincinnati. Like, just those two fan bases right there. And then, yeah, like you said, Ohio's just got a good alumni base, a lot of people there. And it's not a bad drive. I definitely prefer Columbus to, like, Jacksonville.
For sure.
A lot easier to drive to Columbus than it would be to go down there. So
yep.
Tennessee's draw, okay. heartbroken over, you know, not winning, or not really heartbroken, frustrated. Yeah. Frustrated with not winning the conference championship. I wanted that. I don't know how old you are, but it would have been the first one of your lifetime,
yeah, first
right?
Of my lifetime,
you were alive in 79, so
no,
like, yeah.
84. So, you know, I know a lot of the fans want that. I've just never been a conference tournament fan. I mean, the regular season and the big dance is what I've cared about.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it would be nice to win one, but was I upset yesterday? Not really, and I usually am really upset when we lose.
That's how I was walking out, too. I walked out, and I was like, you know what? I'm not sad. I don't feel like the pit of my stomach falling out. Like, I don't feel heartbroken. It was just, I was frustrated. I was mad in the game, like, at some of the adjustments Barnes did or didn't make, at, you know, basically allowing Auburn to be the tougher team. That's what I said. Was like, it worried me that a championship was on the line, and I came out of here and opened the show talking about, seemed as simple as Auburn wanted it more. Like, they beat you to every loose ball. They got 13 offensive rebounds. They really just beat you up. Like, that was the frustrating part, was just like, I don't feel like we played our best game. I feel like they were kind of like the fan base celebrating the Kentucky game all
I think
night.
They were too, yeah. The turnovers, I mean, we just don't do that. We haven't done that all year. That was just, I mean, it was just terrible ball handling. And, you know, they got we had how many turnovers?
17.
So that's 34 possessions.
And led to
that could have led to 34 points on just 2-pointers. Of course,
well,
they bombing threes.
Yeah, they don't shoot twos.
I mean, that is the difference. I mean, just not handling the ball. Just terrible passes. I mean, just lazy. It was lazy passing. And, yeah, it was bothersome. But I think we'll be fully prepared on Friday for three-point shooting team Colgate. And then, of course, Sunday.
It was weird that, you know, even in the first half when we turned the ball over so much, Auburn didn't punish you so much on that because their three-point shooting was so bad. But the second half, yeah, they were 5-20 in the first half and then came out and opened the second half 9-15, just really bombing, making you pay for every mistake you made, making you pay for every, you know, defensive switch you didn't make. You talked about Friday. You'll be out at Elkmont Exchange with us hanging out. You're going to be doing some giveaways. Have you decided how you're going to be doing the giveaways for the people who come out and hang out with us?
Come out Friday. We'll have tons of free beer tickets, buy some food, some appetizers on the McKinney team. So come out, watch the Vols Friday, and then, of course, again Sunday.
If we
win, we'll be doing the same thing, more free beer, more free food. So all on the McKinney team. So come by and join us and cheer on the Vols.
Awesome.
It's going to be a great, great time.
All right, like football season, let's play some buy or sell. You are the man that people need to talk to if they want to buy or sell their home. I tell everyone, do what I did. I trusted you to help us find our home, and you've been awesome throughout the whole process with us. Could not recommend you enough. Let's play some buy or sell. Let's start with Tennessee. Tennessee makes the Final Four. Buy or sell. I'm putting you right on the spot.
Buy. We're making the Final Four.
Wow. I should have built up more drastically to that. I thought you might have said,
buying
it. No, he vehemently says it.
I may or may not have a future on Tennessee doing that.
Okay.
Before we beat Gonzaga. So.
Okay. All right. So before we beat Gonzaga,
the number one team in the nation, yeah.
So that's just to make the Final Four or win it all?
They've got to win it all.
Okay.
So.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's funny how that always happens. And, you know, with the college basketball futures, I mean, Tennessee opened. Do you remember what we opened at? Was it 20-1, 14-1? It was somewhere it's been hovering around 12 all year.
I got it 32-1 in Vegas, like 3 days before the Gonzaga game.
Okay, so you got it 32-1. The most I'd seen was like 20-1.
Yeah, it went down like way. I mean, almost
after we lost
half,
to Kansas,
as
I guess.
As soon as we beat Gonzaga, it went like in half. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, like, Tennessee, I think, has been as good, if not better, than we all kind of thought they were going to be, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think they've been better than we thought.
Especially before the year.
Yeah.
And, like, even now, it's crazy to me. You can still get Tennessee at 16-1.
Yeah.
So, like, if you got them at 32, that's a really good value. But, like, throughout the year, even when Tennessee was ranked number one, they were still only, like, 10 or 12 to 1. Like, you can get them still at a really good number. Again, like, and they've, sure, they've had a couple of, disappointing losses, but still, like, we think this team is every bit of championship material. Like,
they are.
It's going to be matchup dependent. Like I've said, you know, if we play a team like Auburn who just bombs threes and goes small, like, you know, we can't match up, because I think we're one guy short in the rotation, I think, to play with anybody.
I agree.
Like, we don't have that extra wing defender. Like, if we have to put Fulkerson or Walker or Alexander out there against certain teams, it's just not going to work out
for
us.
Not going to work. No.
But you think Tennessee, you're buying the Final Four,
The Final Four, love to see a Tennessee-Kentucky matchup in the Final Four and then a Tennessee-Duke matchup in the finals.
So you're rooting for Kentucky to get to the Final Four.
Just beat them again.
As long as we get there.
Just keep pounding them.
I'm rooting for Kentucky to get beat in the second game. Wofford, embarrass them, Wofford. Yeah. Although,
I mean, I love seeing Kentucky lose, so anybody can beat them, but it'd be nice to beat them a third time.
Buy or sell, at least two ACC teams make the Final Four. They have 3-1 seeds.
So,
does at least two ACC teams get there?
So, I think, unless just something crazy happens with Zion, I think Duke is a lock to make the Final Four. I'd love to see what that odds are. It's probably minus.
Yeah, they're almost like, 2-1 to win the title?
Yeah, with him, I think Duke's a lock, and I don't think any of the other ones get in. I think we'll have to go up against Virginia to make the Final Four. So,
okay, so we eliminated Virginia. Eliminated.
Don't think UNC can get there. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think UNC has a chance to get there.
It really feels like, if you ask me right now, two SEC teams versus two ACC teams, I might feel better about the SEC's chances of getting there because I know we said Kentucky's have a hard road, but I do think they are a really good basketball team.
Very good.
And I do think Coach Cal is a good coach, and for the most part, he navigates the tournament pretty well. They'll have their disappointments every now and then where they're losing the second round or whatever, but for the most part, it feels like they maximize where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's year in, year out. They're right there. And they hit stride, it seems like, this time of the year. They play great against us. We just pulled it out. It was unbelievable. But
I know some Kentucky fans are trying to get their revenge on Luke May. He knocked him out of the tournament a couple years ago. They're trying to to get revenge on him.
Yep.
Buy or sell Gonzaga, Final Four team.
I do see Gonzaga making the Final Four. They, everybody talks about their schedule, but their non-conference schedule was very, very strong. And I thought they played UNC, us.
They played UNC and us and Duke. So, they played three of the top five teams in the country, and they're the other ones. So, yeah, the only team they didn't get a chance at, I guess, was Virginia.
Virginia, yep. So, I can see them. Michigan's solid. I think Buffalo's a solid team. They could shock some people. But I could definitely see Gonzaga, Duke being the – being a 1-1.
So you like Buffalo?
I mean, Buffalo, if you've seen anything, they are they're going to beat some people.
Yeah, I haven't watched much Buffalo.
I haven't either. I had to do like a highlight thing and just watch some of their stuff to even see. But they're stout. They could get beat by the Arizona State St. John's winner. But
do you have a team? Do you have a team that you could look at outside the top five seeds? Not Tennessee, but the 1 through 5 seeds. Do you have a 6 or higher that you think makes a deep run that you've watched this year that you like?
We've seen it before with the Bruce. He was here and the same thing happened. I could see it happening with Auburn. I know they're playing good against us, but they're hitting stride at the right time.
So right at the 5 seed, you think they could make a run?
I do. They had a little lull through the middle of the year there, but they're on point right now.
And they're in Carolina's bracket, right?
Yep. Carolina's bracket, I think they match up well with them. It's going to be a run and gun, probably score 100 points.
That's the thing is, Auburn in a one-game sample is dangerous against anybody just because they gimmick the game up. They're just going to shoot nothing but threes. They are taking what the NBA – they're the NBA's equivalent of the – or their college basketball's equivalent of the Houston Rockets, where the Rockets are just going to keep shooting threes and threes and threes, and, they don't have a James Harden. Bryce Brown's good, but he's not James Harden.
No.
But – as a team, they just want to bomb that and shoot layups and threes. And against us, it got us, blown out. We lost by 20.
Yeah, and we shot the ball well. It's just – but the thing is, when you have that many turnovers and give them that many more chances at shooting threes, there's no way they're going to win turning the ball over like that.
Travis McKinney, the McKinney team, sponsoring our March Madness coverage this year. They will be out at Elkmont Exchange with us Friday, giving out beers, appetizers, foods. Come by, see us, say hi, shake Travis's hand, get to know him more. Tell the people listening who might not be able to make it out to Elkmont how to get in touch with you if they are interested in buying or selling their home or learning more about the real estate market.
Yeah, you can contact us on our website at ZillowKnoxville.com, our Facebook page, Travis and Emily McKinney, Keller Williams Realty, through John or anybody here at Fox Sports can get you in touch with us, or you can call me directly, 865-591-2127.
Wait, give that number again. I feel like you messed up your own phone number.
No, that's the other part of the McKinney team's phone number. Giving her number, 865-591.
Gotcha.
Or you can call me personally, 548-8267.
That's the number I give. You stumbled a little bit. I want to make sure. So
yeah,
I give
they both go to the same place.
So, gotcha.
Yeah.
We got many numbers that you can reach the McKinney team. We'll get you in touch with them. ZillowKnoxville.com.
That's the best.
Like he said, you can call the station. You can reach out to me on social media. We'll get you in touch with them. Could not recommend them high enough. Travis, appreciate you coming in. And yeah, I guess you. I'll see you Friday.
We will be there Friday. Can't wait.
All right. That's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. We'll be back with Last Call on the other side. Last Call here on the program is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka.
Thank God.
Our relationship is going to be tested if it comes down to Tennessee, Virginia. I've told you, like, TC's a
big Virginia guy.
Big Virginia guy. Obviously, we're big Tennessee guys. It'll be a little awkward if we square off in the Elite Eight.
You'll just have to place like a wager.
I know, but we're all kind of obnoxious, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, we're over the top.
We're all over the top, especially just Tennessee fans in general. So for now, Volunteer Vodka sponsors Last Call. Who knows if Tennessee and Virginia play in the Elite Eight? Maybe not anymore. We'll find out. But for now, support our great sponsors. Support our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee up in Bristol. Grapes, corn, non-GMO, smooth, tastes good. I like to mix mine with Sprite. I like to mix all my liquor with Sprite. People can give me a tough time for it. I don't care. I love it. Nothing like a Volunteer Vodka and Sprite. I recommend it. All right. Bump the brakes or keep rolling. Ben Lee, would you like to go first or would you like to go second?
I can go first.
All right. Go for it.
Goat runs loose in New York.
Stop. LeBron James. I guess he didn't run loose. They
after escaping they lost a slaughterhouse. A goat has a new home at a New Jersey sanctuary after escaping slaughterhouse and running loose in New York City. Animal care centers of the New York City said police concerned the goat Sunday morning in South Bronx after apparently escaping from a nearby slaughterhouse.
You know, I've never really thought of that. I've never thought of a goat slaughterhouse. Like, I know people eat goats. Like, I know that that's a meat that people eat, but I've never thought of a goat slaughterhouse.
Well, this one,
the only time I've ever seen, like, we're not in the goat business on the farm. The only time we have goats, they end up getting eaten by our cows, or not our cows, by our dogs all the time.
We had goats here for a while.
It'd be really weird if our cows were eating goats, but
we had station goats for a minute.
I've had some people kill goats in front of me.
Oh,
like, and skin them themselves, like just drop them off to a family, like you sell them two goats or something, right before Easter. I guess that's a thing.
And they just kill them.
Kill them and hang them up, and they're like,
"Bah, bah." Well, what happened to our goats? We just like sell them.
Yeah,
Nate just get tired of taking care of them.
Nate gave up on the farm life very quickly.
Yeah, they did their purpose. They ate some kudzu.
Some of it, but it's hard to go out there and water them every day, and like yeah, it's tough.
It's a task. Taking care of another pet.
Yeah,
essentially.
Even worse than a pet, somebody working for you.
Well, this goat had no idea about a slaughterhouse either, as he was out the door. Quickly as possible,
and he escaped. Right? I always like the stories when the animals escape, and then people are like, you know what?
He had a nice little day in New York City, and now he has a permanent home at Skylands Farm Sanctuary in New Jersey.
Congratulations to him! I saw the cow running across the road trying to get a Chick-fil-A. Also, kind of weird. Weird weekend for animals, I guess.
Eat more chicken.
A woman quits career so that she can do this.
Pump your brakes, kid.
I don't know if it's a good story or not. I'm just reading. Woman quits successful career in the city so that she can move out in the woods with over 100 rescued animals. She has given up the life chasing money to go and live with 100 rescued animals. You know, every time I see like an animal sanctuary, I'm like, that looks pretty cool. Like, there was a guy, I saw a video go viral the other day of him rescuing like 50 dogs and just having them run on his farm. I was like, man, I got some land I can get some access to. I got some land now. Like, maybe I should just start rescuing dogs. But then, like, feeding all of them would be tough and really expensive. You'd have to be really rich. Huh?
A bunch of dogs?
It'd be expensive to feed 50 dogs.
Yeah.
You'd go through
a lot of dog food.
10 bags of dog food a week, probably, and a lot of poop.
It's true.
As Parker put it. This woman gave it up, and she lives with 100 rescued animals.
Baby Jesus statue.
No need to get religious on the show, Ben.
It's not. Okay. Harry Potter fans troll J.K. Rowling?
Wish I would have saved my story about that 1,300-pound crocodile.
After a revelation of Dumbledore's sex life. Every now and then.
I did see this. What happened? This is one of those weird stories. Like, look, full disclosure, I drank a lot this weekend.
As did I.
I drank a lot this weekend, surrounding Tennessee basketball games. During one of my hazes, I looked online and just saw people mad about Dumbledore's sex life. And I was like, what has happened here?
Every now and then, J.K. Rowling drops a major Harry Potter bombshell on fans. Recently, she shocked diehard Potterheads with the revelation that Voldemort's beloved snake, Nagini, is actually a male Dictus, a secret she'd been keeping for 20 years.
A male what?
A male Dictus. I'm going to click on the word to see what pulls up here.
I know what it sounds like.
Let's see. When it comes to Joanne Rowling's Magical World of Harry Potter, there are some Potterheads who pride themselves in knowing everything there is to know about the show. They've mentioned
Ben reading on air is one of my favorite bits on the show.
I'm trying to scan.
It's like watching someone almost drowned in person. Like, it's just, I feel so bad. He's told me many times how self-conscious he is about it, but just whenever Cody's not here and he has to play Pump the Brakes or Keep Rolling and read these stories or do headlines, it's just, it's always one of my favorite things.
I'm trying to scan, but I'm also not trying to stutter, and it's all hell.
Oh, I know. It's perfect. I love listening to it. It's one of my favorite things, just listening to you drowned right here on air.
And now she's letting it slip in a feature on the new Fantastic Beasts DVD that Dumbledore and Grindelwald had an intense sexual relationship.
Okay. I mean, what is the point of this, J.K. Rowling? What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Like, why is she doing this? Like, is she just...
This is, like, one of the biggest, like...
Yeah, is she trying to tap into a new community? Like, is she trying to be, like, is she trying to make some type of statement here? What is happening?
I think it's probably, like, a...
Does she feel bad?
Of those things, like, people always kind of said, like, is Dumbledore homosexual? And then, like, everybody was like...
That was
maybe.
A thing?
Yeah, like it's kind of been a thing like all this time, and then like finally she's come out and said it. So
everyone
like,
gave her a good idea, so she's gonna go.
So she's gonna ride with it, and then help bring in some extra dollars here and there.
Okay.
From a new community. It is what it is.
All right.
30 seconds left.
She probably just felt guilty from not having Harry and Ron ever get it on since she's Dumbledore. All right. Well, good place to end the show. Well, let me tell you, real MVP-like performance by me today. Everyone talks about Jordan's flu game. Me getting through with this voice, I deserve some real respect. Some real respect for toughing this out. Not all heroes wear capes, but sometimes they wear red sweaters.